Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning into Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh.
Listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSFradio and learn more by visiting our website cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody, to Slumber Party. We are here every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco. We are so glad to be here for another great Tuesday night. As usual, we have some music lined up and a topic for later on, which we'll get into. But as usual, we will start right into the music. We're starting off with my music first, because I'm very excited to play this one artist. I'm gonna do two songs back to back from her, and just want to preface that I just found her, so I'm not really entirely sure of all their other songs or other albums, but I will get into it soon. But these two songs are awesome, and I've been listening to them on repeat for the past couple of days. So this first one is called Montan by Tay Shi, who's the artist. And the second one will be Don't Cry by the same artist, Tay Shi. And these are both from her newest album, Make Believe, I Make Believe. She is a Colombian-Canadian singer / producer. And she is also about to come to the Biltmore Cabaret. On November 18th in Vancouver. So if you like this song, you can go buy some tickets and check her out. So enjoy.
Used to be the type I chased. Might have had a pretty face, but didn't want to do the things I did. Now I'm with a gentleman. He's the type to break you in. And there's no use trying. Thank you. Since we got to talking, I guess we don't keep up that well. You finally found yourself a new disappointment that you couldn't wait to talk about. One day you said in the dark, then you cross in your heart and you hope to die. You get it all ripped to pieces, you rinse and repeat. We'll be right back.
The Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group, aka SF PERG, has been leading social and environmental activism on campus for 40 years. SF PERG is student activism, by students, for students. Do you have a vision for a brighter future? Are you passionate about changing the world? Visit us at www.sfperg.ca. That's www.sfperg.ca to learn more about getting involved today.
Atención.
Yucasterio. Domingos 6 a 8 p.m. 90.1 CJSF Radio.
CJSF
90.1 FM.
Radio Mano Papachango
90.1 FM. Yucasterio.
Atención.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party every Tuesday from 6 to 7. That last song you just heard was called Girls by King Princess from her new album Girl Violence, released September 12th this year, so just a couple days ago. And then just before that, I already introduced, but we heard two back-to-back songs from Taishi, Don't Cry and Montan from her new album, Make Believe, I Make Believe. And as foreshadowed before, we are going to discuss our topic for today, which was picked by DJ Star. So you can lead us off.
Yes. Okay. So there is a lot of talk about this on social media this week, and especially last week, which is when it happened, about the protest in Nepal. And it really caught my eye, as like most news articles do that are related to Gen Z in some way, or any kind of like youth organization or uprising. So there were these protests in Nepal against their fairly corrupt government, among many other issues, and it was led by Gen Z for the most part, between 13 to 28, I think, was like the majority of the protesters and people who were organizing against this government. And it began on September 8th in the capital of Nepal, Kathmandu. And yeah, there was tens of thousands of young Nepalis who were protesting on the streets against the government. And there's been like a long history of corruption with this specific prime minister who's in power right now, who has been accused of bribery. And for example, he took money to disguise Nepalese job seekers as Bhutanese refugees in the US, and then obviously like they were caught and, you know, accused of fraud by the American people who were like checking those things. And yeah, so he was like taking money from people in Nepal who were so desperate to get jobs that they needed to migrate to the US, because that's another issue that we can get into later, is that there's a super high unemployment rate as well. So yeah, there was a lot of people protesting.
Mm-hmm. And more about it as well. So it's very publicized right now because of this protest, since there's at least 22 people dead and hundreds more injured. And of course, this was more of like quote-unquote Gen Z protest, so a lot of these people dead are young people. And more of why this kind of death and injuries happen is because of the events that were a result of the protest, which were that the protesters defied police curfew. So some of the things that happened were setting fire to the Supreme Court, Parliament, and other government buildings, and the Prime Minister's home. So initially, the police and the military, they were hitting the protesters with water cannons, rubber bullets, tear gas. And then at the point when the protesters broke the parliament fence and they started vandalizing, the police switched to live ammunition and just started going after people. Mm-hmm. And so this is all a developing story right now, since it was September 8th. So this is still very recent. Just recently, the Prime Minister, Sharmi Ali, the one that's not known in a very favorable manner, he resigned, and he was forced to resign in a letter. And right now, there's not really an organized spokesperson for all the protesters and all the Gen Z people. And so there's a lot of confusion right now on how to address all this confusion in Nepal right now, which is, as I said, all ongoing and developing.
Mm-hmm. And just to clear up a bit more of the timeline, is September 8th is when people started doing peaceful protests against the government, and then it got out of hand. And then that's when, 21 civilians were killed. And then after that, even the government banned over 24 social media apps because of the protests, and they did not want their citizens to organize with each other or even be in contact with the rest of the world. And then after these 21 civilians were killed and the social media bans happened, the next day is when everyone was setting fire to the Supreme Court, the parliament, and then all the other government buildings in retaliation, because in a lot of news articles they were saying like that is when the rage was just like fully escalated, because, you know, there's people who were even killed in their like school uniforms and stuff, and that is just like, you know, pretty unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. And you're probably thinking like, what is this protest even about and why now? So we can kind of give a summary of what led up to this event and specifically why for Gen Z. What I found particularly was, I'd say, 3 points. DJ Star can add on after, but this all kind of began because of the Gen Z population, the Nepali Gen Z. It was all led on social media, and there's a lot of frustration and anger currently against rich Nepalian kids from political families that are known to flaunt their money. So there's this hashtag going around called hashtag Nepo Kids, of these very rich Nepalian kids that are showing off their luxurious trips or their Louis Vuitton bags, when at this time period, Nepal is still a developing country, and a lot of Nepalis are struggling to make ends meet right now. And so seeing kids their same age flaunting all this money that comes from politics and basically their taxes is making them really angry. And that's only kind of just the fire that started. There's also other factors involved. But some of the examples of these Nepalian kids that they kind of are the main front of what's being targeted is the daughter of the former health minister, for example, Shrinkala Kadiwada, who was Miss Nepal in 2018, showing lots of privilege on social media, showing all these pictures of going to Europe on Instagram, etc. And another one is Smita Dahal, so another granddaughter of a former prime minister, and flaunting designer bags. And so this was kind of, you know, where kids, Nepali kids, were sharing their anger and frustration with each other by targeting these Nepo kids on things, platforms like TikTok, Instagram, etc. And then after this kind of growing frustration, everyone was kind of combining their frustration together, the government, Nepali government, decided for a social media ban at this point. And people felt that, or I guess the reason why for the social media ban first was because they said themselves that it disrupted social harmony, and they tried to attempt to censor their voices for all this collective frustration over people who have privilege and flaunting it and obviously showing inequalities in the way that they live. And so with this social media ban, everyone is even more upset now, because now it's infringing on the freedom of speech and kind of keeping status quo. And as well, it affected online businesses of Gen Z and other people. And the final kind of factor, as alluded from the social media ban, is that the government has this very authoritative grip on Nepal. And Gen Z, the protesters state that it's a protest not against just the social media ban and these Nepo kids, but against systemic corruption. So that's more about what this protest is for, is all these factors were all tiny little things like Nepo kids, social media, but it's all for this same goal or this common goal of systemic corruption that is happening in Nepal. And this very deep rooted resentment of Nepal's political elite and how little economic opportunities that regular Nepali people have. One factor that, or one stat that I've saw multiple times when I was researching was that the youth unemployment rate in Nepal is 20.8%, as from the World Bank 2024, which is very high. So as you can see, all these kids, they can't find jobs. All these Gen Z, they can't find jobs. Their families are struggling to make ends meet. And then you obviously go online, you see kids your same age just throwing out handbags and plane trips. And obviously it wasn't something that they worked for. But that's what I found on my end.
Yeah, like we see this in Nepal and we see this all over the world too, just like the widening gap between privilege and poverty. And yeah, most people in Nepal are not experiencing the same life of luxury and privilege that people in power are experiencing. And hundreds of thousands of Nepali youth are actually forced to migrate to find other jobs outside of Nepal because there's just such a shortage. But even when they do migrate, they are still considered the cheapest workers in some of the Gulf states in the U.S., like Texas, Louisiana, etc. So they are either going to be exploited in a different country or struggling to even put enough food on the table in their own country. So the options, you know, they've been pretty much pushed to like do this protest because there's both options are pretty horrible. Mm-hmm. And can't really live just being exploited or not having anything. Like, which one's better, like being exploited or just not having a job, you know? And people are going to have to choose and like be forced to choose that.
Exactly. So this protest is just one kind of putting the foot down and saying like we can't keep dealing with this and we can't keep dealing with this bad hand, and especially with the government having decades of political instability. Mm-hmm. They've had lots of changeovers and confusion, and it's never really been solid at any point in Nepal. So the fact that the current prime minister, or I guess the one that was during this protest, resigned, and now there's more uncertainty. I mean, it is a step forward for fighting against corruption and for, I guess, nepotism as well, and just trying to navigate through this world, which, I mean, in many other countries, as Ijisar said, we all struggle with these same problems, but in Nepal it is especially apparent. And it kind of makes you wonder if more things will happen like this in other parts of the world.
Yeah, because I remember last summer there was a very similar situation in Bangladesh, I think, with people uprising against their corrupt governments, and essentially against capitalism in a sense too, with like such poor conditions for the working class people and the government not actually trying to work towards finding a solution in their best interest. It's mostly just the government cares about keeping the government rich. And even though technically Nepal at the time when people were protesting was a communist country, but it wasn't necessarily true communism in the sense that they were still keeping a bunch of cash and offshore accounts, and like I said before, like there had been recorded instances of cabinet members accepting bribes and also the prime minister accepting bribes and doing these things that are so corrupt. And like also exploiting his own citizens by making them pay to disguise them as refugees to like go to a different country. Like, that is not true communism. And so that's something interesting to note as well, that they are technically communist, but they're operating within this environment of global capitalism. So they're still following the interests of the elite and of the rich. And you can see that because, you know, the unemployment rate is 20%, and so many people are like suffering to find a job. And in communism, like, that shouldn't be as much of an issue. So just like, interesting to note that a lot of the underlying thread of all of these youth uprisings and protests and revolutions is that, you know, there is an intrinsic issue with capitalism and how it's working these days, where more and more people are being exploited and just pushed to the brink of trying to survive.
Exactly. And I think this protest was especially apparent in news as well, because of specifically Gen Z protesting against this, because I'm not sure how common youth uprisings are nowadays, or in the past even. You'd usually see maybe working class adults, etc., but having actual kids band together and say, hey, this is a problem we see, is very impressive in my opinion. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the kids who went out and protest against these ideas that are kind of abstract in a way, but you know, they are fighting what they believe in and to make a better country. So, good
and
for them.
Also, just one last thing to add about the timeline and how they actually decided who the next leader was going to be is that they chose the next leader, who is a former Supreme Court Chief Justice, and her name is Sushila Karki. And they chose her through a virtual poll on Discord.
It's very Gen Z.
It's very Gen Z. And they had a subroom in that Discord called fact checks on their discussion pages. So, you know, like, they were trying their best to have like an objective democratic election. But interesting that it's on Discord. Not sure. I feel like there could be some issues with that potentially, but. It's still a really cool example of how youth can claim power in the government in some way and stand up for what they believe in.
In a much more modern way.
In a much more modern
way. I don't think in history we ever had a poll on Discord to elect someone, but I mean, times